Monday, we've got the Buzz Golf Tournament down at Rebsman, which I have not had a chance to play yet this year. I've not played hardly any golf anyway. And then on Tuesday, we are going to be live at Landers Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with some end-of-month specials. Jim Harris is going to join us at the Buzz Golf Tournament next Monday, so we look forward to seeing him as well. I'm sure he'll be one of the key cogs in his team's success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Jim, I need you to play well, because Harry King and I have a little bet going. He thinks that you guys will not shoot more than like 5 under, and I said you guys will shoot more like 8 or 9.
Well, I better start playing then.
That would
I
be helpful.
I haven't played any either. I've just been, it's either been the weather, kid baseball, or work, you know.
Well, considering Harry can shoot 75 on his own ball down there, I'm going to guess that you guys will be just fine.
Harry would be grateful if he could shoot 75, at least on a everyday basis down there.
Well, right? He's a senior tee guy. Isn't
yes,
he?
From the senior tees, I have no doubt in my mind that he could shoot.
Senior tees down there, we ought to score pretty well. He ought to be putting us in good position.
I like
is
your chances.
Is he on our team?
Yes, he is on your team.
Who else is on my? Are you on my team?
I am not on your team. You guys.
Dang.
I wanted you to have a chance to score well. I actually we've got Pat's father coming in, so we're taking it. But it's you two and Matt Stell, who hits it about 600 miles. And Chris Kane of KATV, who's better than me anyway. So,
now, the way you played at Elotion, you know, about this time last year in the one trip we made together in that media event.
Yes. If you need a 37-52 combo meal, I'm your guy.
Yeah, but you and I would have shot 8 under on the front nine.
That's true. That is true. But, Jim, you know what they say about the sun shining on a dog's behind. It's only happened to me a couple of times. That was a magical
nine
holes.
Bring that game there, and you'll shoot quite well. So it ought to be fun. I know there's always a lot of good golfers out there, but everybody usually just has a great time, and it's good camaraderie. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for the invite.
I'm going to do whatever the opposite of a rain dance is, because at the current time, the forecast is for rain, although we played in a driving rainstorm down there before.
It was fun.
Strangely,
I like it that way.
Strangely. And maybe this is always like it's been, but I've been watching this since last fall with football, and every pattern of weather is like a week. I mean, it's like, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like it rained on Thursday or Friday in football season. It seemed like almost every week last year, and it would just be that pattern each week. And then it's kind of moved to where it seems like we're getting rain every Monday evening or something.
Not a fan. I like good weather, but hopefully.
Yeah, we would have got it in yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. And today would be a great day to get out. Although, I am encouraging everyone, Jim, as we start talking some sports here, I'm encouraging everyone to go out and watch some college baseball over the next couple of days. And you have a lot of options watching teams playing against other teams from the state of Arkansas. UALR at UAPB tonight, and then they host UCA in the rematch of the game that ended in a brawl last time, or didn't end in a brawl, but it had a brawl. And then A-State is traveling to play UCA tonight. So you've got in-state baseball all over the place, not to mention Arkansas, now in the top 25, as I saw yesterday from your tweet, is hosting Northwestern State tonight. So you got baseball all over the place.
Yeah, it would be it'd be nice to have another one of those UCA-ASU games here at Dickey Stevens, but I guess that wasn't able to happen this year, or in a UCA-UAPB. Didn't they play that as a doubleheader at Dickey Stevens last year?
I believe that's correct. It would be fun to do a weekend tournament where you did a round-robin deal or something.
And it would also be fun if, the Supreme program with its new secondary logo would understand that playing baseball against ASU and ULR and even UCA.
Yeah, I saw online today.
It's not the same as playing them in football or even basketball.
The announcement last night guarantees that Arkansas will never play ASU because they the logos would be too confusing because they're too similar. And so they could never play each other because
the
people
Arkansas,
might get confused.
The Arkansas secondary logo appears to look like a pig morphed into a horse.
Whoa.
It's got this lower jaw thing, this lower lip that looks like somebody kind of took a horse and maybe, you know, rounded off the nose, maybe.
Mm.
Look at it real close. When
I'll have to.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to do that.
It looks like a pig morphed into a horse.
Interesting. I'm looking at it. I don't know. Do you like it? Do you not like it? What did you think of the uniforms? What was your overall take on all that?
The uniforms, I'll say this. My 12-year-old son loves the uniforms, so, you know, I'm going to go with his opinion.
All right.
I think it's important that the young people like or not like what they're doing. I think I'm going to hear it from my friends who are old Razorbacks, who wore the old traditional just red and white.
Hey, you just cost yourself a lunch with Bruce James, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. I call, and I'm sure I'm going to hear it from a few others of his teammates I know, but I think it's up to what the school, you know, the students want and the younger people coming up.
I'm more concerned about the color. I'm more concerned about the shade of red than I'm worried about anything else.
Really?
Yes.
Have they gone a slightly darker?
Yeah, slightly darker. They're trying to unify it because...
Yeah,
as I think Mike Waddell tweeted out a while back that there was a picture that he had pulled or somebody had pulled for him, and there were like four different shades of red in this one photo with fans standing by each other. Which I understand you want to unify it and have a very clear cut. This is our red. I'm just not sure they picked the right red. I like a red that's a little closer to a Georgia red than a Mississippi State or Alabama red.
Well, you know, in the glory days, Arkansas was a little closer to that red than they are now.
Right.
For some reason, it's just drifted closer and closer to getting near maroon. I mean, not quite out of red yet, but almost into a maroon. And I don't like it either. I like the red I grew up with. But he's right, and everybody's right, that there's about, you know, 16 million shades of red
right
now in all their uniforms and all their stuff they sell and all. I mean, you can go back and find Arkansas items for sale from the Lou Holtz era, even like the Lou Holtz doll and things like that, in which the red is lighter than it is today.
Yeah, when Pat played,
what we're talking about is the color of the.
I know
green.
It is, but that to me is a core value. I mean, the color of your red. I mean, it is, and there's a specific number for it. When the story came out that they were going a little bit darker, like one more move on the color scale, we had the numbers of what it was. I don't remember what the word is even that goes with it, but I guess they're just trying to move closer to teams that are successful.
I'm asking you as fans, don't give up on those players. Don't give up on us. It's our program. It's a state of Alabama program.
It's the state of Alabama red almost.
My whole deal is you got to have something that's going to stand out, whether you're going to brand that hog, that logo, whatever the case may be. So when everyone sees, because when you think of orange, you know what I'm saying? Well, when you see that color.
I think of Syracuse, Texas, or Tennessee.
I mean, it's just something about it. So
yeah.
It's just got to have something to stand out.
A bowl game or a delicious treat. But that's it. One of
those
five things.
Arkansas was cardinal, and why?
Right.
Because they were known as Cardinals.
Right.
Or they were the dogs.
Although they could
Razorbacks,
have been, back
Jim.
In the day, they could have been known as the Whites, too, I guess, though, Jim.
Razorbacks, Jim.
But anyway.
Okay, we can fight about all. Yeah, aren't they? Yeah, they played like a bunch of wild Razorback hogs and beating LSU in 1909 or something. Yeah, but they were Cardinal, and we've just drifted closer to, as you aptly point out, Crimson and Cardinal are two different colors.
Yeah,
that's true.
All I got.
That is
that's
true.
All
I don't know, Jim.
That.
My crayons never exceeded more than 10 different colors.
Oh, I had.
That was it.
I'm telling you, one year I had the 128 box or whatever it was
with the sharpener.
With the sharpener in the back, bigger than the 64 box.
Wasn't
it was
great.
Clown town,
gold,
bro.
Silver.
I'm telling you, cornflower blue.
Flesh. Yeah, flesh.
What about teal?
Teal. Yeah. Oh, teal. They had. Here's how specific that box was. They had a blue, green, and a green blue.
You're right.
Yeah, and they had a red,
you're
orange,
exactly,
and orange, red.
Right. And they were different.
They're totally different.
And they were different.
Yes.
You are so right. I remember.
What happened to us? Okay, so the logo thing we've moved on from. Baseball back in the top 25. In fact, ranked in the Baseball America poll just ahead of Vanderbilt, the team that Arkansas just took 2 of 3 from.
It was a great series. Of course, it was a very low-scoring series for the most part. And Arkansas made the most of its limited hits on Sunday. Weren't able to scratch much on Saturday and lost that game. I'm just flabbergasted, I guess is the best word, for 3 years now that Arkansas has struggled to amass much offense. And I know some of it is the fact that the SEC's, every team in the SEC's probably got one good Friday night starter. Some of the better teams have two great pitchers, so you know you're kind of limited anyway. But Arkansas didn't score very well, or hasn't scored that greatly in non-conference. And I would have thought they would have been able to address that situation in recruiting over the last couple of years. They certainly wasted the best earned run average among a pitching staff last year.
Yeah.
In 41 years, I think it wasn't, or 40, that wasn't that many years. It was 37 years, I think. It was since 1976. Was the best ERA by a college team, and they still weren't able to advance out of Kansas State, out of that first round.
Well, you know, it's interesting because coming in this year, they were talking about all the pitching they had to replace, and yet that seems to, again, be the strength of this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like we said said last week, I'll repeat it again, you know, Trey Killian, I guess, did he get the win Friday night?
They did win Friday. I don't know if he got it.
I'm not sure if he got it, but I said last week he was the best 1-6 pitcher probably in the country.
Mm-hmm.
He was just kind of hard luck, not getting any offense behind him. You know, kind of like our man
Cliff Lee.
Our man Lyons last night for the Cardinals, pitch a good game against the Mets, get beat 2-0.
Yeah, and we need to talk about Travis Wood at some point today, too. Don't forget about that, Pat.
Love Travis Wood.
Travis Wood is helping. He may be the best offensive weapon for the Cubs as well.
Yeah, he's a good one. But I think Arkansas, I mean, they have a good recruiting class coming for next year. I know we're talking about this year. And somehow they've got to get some hits at the bottom of the lineup. Although, man, I mean, at Bernal, I know he had a tough luck at the plate. He's the last guy in the order for a good reason. But he sure helped them a lot at shortstop.
Yeah.
And he's quite the fielder. I mean, you know, they've same thing with Jake Wise. I mean, he's batting, just a little over a buck, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's maybe the best defensive catcher, or he certainly would rate up there as one of the best defensive catchers in the country.
Let me say this, just to sort of show what we're talking about here. Arkansas is currently dead last in the SEC in hitting at 258.
Mm.
The SEC average is 279, so Arkansas is pretty well beneath that. They are third currently at 2.33 on team ERA. So
slightly up from last year's 1.6 something, but
still very competitive.
Yeah.
The hitting is not much better. That's what's sad. I mean, I don't know. And you know, we talked about Todd Butler, and I know he was the hitting instructor before he left for
Wichita State. Well, he got pretty good for no reason. Of course, he was the recruiting coordinator,
so he was guilty either way.
It's the players. I mean, you know what? I mean, if you put a guy out there, it doesn't matter. If they put you out there or me,
mm-hmm.
and they hired the best hitting coach in the country to coach me, it's not going to turn me into a 300 hitter. I mean, you know what?
Right.
I mean, that's the extreme there. But you're taking guys. I mean, you're looking out there among JUCO players, and you're trying to answer your problem at fielding, at shortstop. You're trying to get a shortstop so you sign Bernal, but he doesn't bring a bat. But he answers a lot of your questions as far as fielding. I mean, building a team in baseball is both, you know, having solid pitching, having great defense, and hitting. But you got to have it all balanced out in a way. And you know, it's balancing out okay. When you can take two or three from Vanderbilt, I'll take that balance. You know, I'll take that.
Yeah.
And I'll take two of three the rest of the season on all their series, and I think they'll probably get a sweep. I could see them sweeping Missouri to finish it up. So, of course, you know, you can only see them getting swept, you know, if they don't, put the bats to the ball. But I can see this team continually getting better, and it was a young team to begin with. And, you know, it's what you're going to do in May. I mean, everybody talks about March for basketball, but really, you know, the month of May is where it's going to start mattering.
Jim, we went through the list, and I won't bore our listeners with it, but we went through the list of all the changes in college basketball this year, and there have been so many, it's ridiculous. Missouri, probably the best job that's open currently. What are your thoughts on who might end up there, or do you have any insight on who might end up as the next coach there?
I haven't even seen anything. I read a lot. I follow Dave Matter, who's the beat man for Missouri for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. I think he's he's as lost as everybody else as far as where Missouri's going to go. I don't think it was a surprise that Tennessee, I mean, they had their two guys, you know, kind of figured out. You know, they wanted Michael White from Louisiana Tech. He was their top choice. And when he didn't take it, they signed Tindall, you know, Don Tindall from Southern Mississippi, who's mm-hmm. done a great job, you know, with them. They were an NIT team. And I coincidentally won at Missouri in the NIT postseason tournament. So he got his first taste of SEC ball and got a good win. So I think Tennessee's done well, getting a good coach there. I don't know where Missouri's going to go. But here's a question you could pose to some of your listeners. I'd be interested to see what the answers would be. This is probably not the question the Hog backers or supporters want to ask, but if you could keep Mike or send him back to Missouri to coach him, what would your choice be? Because I think
Pat, you got to sit this out.
I think he's the coach for Arkansas, but I'm just amazed at some of the people who, you know, wanted him so badly when he was coaching at Missouri, and then when he's your coach at Arkansas, then all of a sudden it's like, he can't coach. We're just not any good. You know, Would you send him back to Missouri now? You know, he whipped Arkansas a couple of times.
Yeah,
so.
Isn't that what happens with probably every school and every coach until get over that hump?
Except Kentucky now. I think they were ready to part with John Calipari even, you know, after the South Carolina loss. But I think they're happy with him now, too. Yeah, it probably does. And at some point, maybe Tennessee may get tired, just like they were. I don't think they really wanted Quanzo Martin to begin with, but I think he was a good coach. And
it's almost like me and Justin were talking about all the college coaching jobs that have become available and are now taken. It's scary how it's almost like professional sports where, you know, you get guys in jobs that you know are going to come open. It's like if you're Michael White or you're Shaka Smart or you're one of these other coaches who are at a spot where you can just sit back. Even in football, you can sit back and there is going to be a top 10 job probably coming open every couple years or every year. And so it's just that's just the way it's happening these days.
Well, and in basketball, it may get worse if the NBA starts hiring guys out. You know, if you're an Izzo or a Billy D or, you know, maybe
Hoiberg.
Aren't you in a better position if you're Michael White? If you're getting paid, and I don't know what he's getting paid, but what is he, probably about $1 million at the most?
Probably at the most.
He may be making $700,000, but still, I mean, you can be happy in a conference that you can win or be a contender for every year. Or you can take the Missouri job or the Tennessee job and know that it's all about, you know, out-recruiting Kentucky and Florida now.
It is, but, Jim, the thing is, too, if you take a Missouri gig or even a Tennessee job, you double your salary, and I haven't spent any time in Knoxville, but I have spent some time in Ruston, and so with all due respect to La Tech grads, including my father-in-law,
the Ruston Rifle, Scotty Thurman,
I can tell you safe to say that Columbia, Missouri is a much better community than Ruston, Louisiana, and I would probably say the same for Knoxville.
You know, I think if you look at the players that the state of Missouri has produced in the last 10 years, and a bunch of them have not gone to Missouri, but have gone to other places, Georgetown, Kansas, other places around the country, even to Florida, the state of Missouri is producing some great college basketball players.
Yeah.
If Missouri could actually put a fence around the state, which has been impossible for them to do, but if they got the coach in there that could put a fence around Missouri, I mean, you get guys like Bradley Beal.
Derek Hood. Here's my deal. If I'm a coach.
Derek Hood was out of Kansas City.
If I'm a coach, I want to go to a school where you've got enough power. I don't know if you'll ever have enough as the same power as the football coach, but you certainly have got to be able to have close to the influence or an athletic director that gives you what you need as a basketball program. I don't always know if like Tennessee's. I think Missouri would do that.
Missouri's a basketball school first, in my opinion. Yeah. It's close to a 50-50. It's similar in the I think they have a concept that is.
That's why I would take a job like that versus Tennessee.
I think they have a concept that's similar to Arkansas. They want to be great at both, although they don't have to worry about baseball because their baseball team is pretty terrible. But anyway, I don't know. We'll see. You know, Jim, you know what they need to do? They need to call cop security. They need to secure their borders.
Hey, Frank Haith should have called cop security on his players, and maybe he still have his job at Missouri.
No question. Sporting line.
I'll tell you what was laughable was listening to Frank Haith quantify Tulsa as being a better job. And both of those press conferences, both how Missouri spun it and how their job, their open job, and how Frank Haith and Tulsa spun their position.
Yeah. Well, you got to say it. I mean, you got to say everybody knows it's BS, but you still have to say it so it's on the record. But
I mean, usually you left Tulsa for a great job, and I know that Tulsa almost to kind of slap Nolan's face turned Mike down. You know, a couple times when Nolan was pushing for Mike to get that job back in the 1990s. I think Pat remembers that.
Jim,
and I think the athletic director at the time at Tulsa had it out for Nolan, sort of, and, kind of was dissing him by, not giving Mike a real fair shot. And, of course, it was their mistake because they had a couple of miscues there as coach hires before they – and I mean, and the thing is, Danny Manning surprised me tremendously as far as turning into being a successful coach. You think about all these great players sort of like him, like Clyde Drexler, Sidney Moncrief here. I mean, you think about these great players who try to be a head coach, but it just didn't really in their nature to be able to relate players.
Yeah, he paid he paid his dues as an assistant for a long time, too, which certainly gave him a leg up.
His father is a great, long-time assistant coach, too, so he did come from some good backing, and he'll have a chance to turn Wake Forest around.
No question. Well, the bottom line on Frank Haith is he can say what he wants. Tulsa can say what they want. But to quote Steve Martin and John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, you're going the wrong way. You don't go from Missouri to Tulsa, dum-dum. Anyway, they can spin it how they want. Jim, we got to run. Appreciate the time. I guess you'll be covering a lot of baseball this week. We had a busy week on the diamond.
Yeah, there's a lot of baseball. It'll be on SportingLifeArkansas.com. We've got one last red-white game to deal with on Saturday, which should be a blast.
Yeah.
Be interesting to watch some storylines that we'll hit on this week on the website. So sure do appreciate the time with you guys always. And are you ever on the deck, Pat, at Cajuns? Is that the deal? Are you there?
No, for some reason, they've passed me over time and time again. But if I ever get out there, Jim, I'll let you know.
I hear somebody from the buzz on the deck over there when we're at Junior Deputy Ballpark. I'm always like, and I wish that was Pat Bradley. I want to hang out.
I know. From your lips to the sales ears, my friend.
Okay. I'm with you.
Pat.
I do, too.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jim. Last time I was on the deck at Cajuns, it was because I'd had one Play-Doh too many.